From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd will be our guest later on to play Not My Job. But first, a really sweet note. We got a nice email this week from a woman who told us that she decided to mention her interest in our show on her online dating site profile. And her response rate improved amazingly, she says. All of a sudden, she was contacted by two men who she thinks either one of them could be her soulmate. She indicates that she's going to bring each one of them here to see us live, you know, to find out, to which I say, listener, you know, I wish you the best of luck in your search for love. And Carl, how many times have I told you to stop fooling around on Match.com? While we wait for that denouement, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Jill Irwin in Richmond, Virginia.
Hey, Jill. How are things in Richmond?
Fantastic.
What do you do there?
I work as a sports writer at the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Oh, really? What's your favorite sport? What do you cover?
I cover NASCAR.
You really? You're a NASCAR correspondent?
I am indeed.
Wow.
I would not go so far as to call it my favorite sport. However.
Oh, I see. It's more a job.
Yes.
Yes, I understand. Well, welcome to the show, Jill. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a deputy editor at the Houston Chronicle, Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hi, Jill.
Next, say hello to the humorist and author, most recently of P.J. O'Rourke on The Wealth of Nations, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hey, Jill. It is possible to combine, despite the laughter of our audience, it is possible to combine a fondness for NASCAR with listening to NPR radio.
Well, and of course, they both turn to the left, so it's...
Oh! Hey-o!
Also say hello to a writer for the Boston Globe and the author most recently of Moving the Chains, Tom Brady and the Pursuit of Everything, Mr. Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Jill.
Jill, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off with Who's Carl This Time. That's when Carl, of course, recreates three voices from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain just two of them. Do that, you will win our prize. Carl's very own voice on your home answering machine. Ready to play?
As ready as I can be.
All right, here we go. For your first quote, we give you the Vice President of these United States, Mr. Dick Cheney.
So?
That was Mr. Cheney's reaction this week after he was reminded that a majority of Americans are not happy that we're still doing what after 5 years?
Fighting in Iraq.
Exactly right. This week, Mr. Cheney left Washington to celebrate the fifth anniversary of the day on which the Bush administration made sure it would not be best remembered for its poor handling of the 2001 Chinese spy plane incident. Cheney traveled to Iraq by having the senior leadership of that country draw a pentacle on the floor and summon him. While in the Middle East, he was interviewed by ABC's Martha Raddatz, who pointed out to him that despite his latest claims of vast success in that conflict, quote, Ms. Raddatz said, 2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting, unquote. Mr. Cheney replied, so? He pointed out, this is true, he said, well, Abraham Lincoln didn't pay attention to polls when he was fighting the Civil War, which is true. It may have had something to do with the fact that it was hard to conduct polls via telegraph. And that by the time the fifth anniversary of that war was marked, it had been over for a whole year.
Yeah, you guys make fun of Cheney. But where's your Democrat that shot a lawyer?
That's true.
Show me that.
That'd be Aaron Burr, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
This guy makes Louis Farrakhan look like Hello Kitty, and we're going to have a field day with this.
That was a GOP consultant talking to the Washington Post, and despite a big speech this week, Republicans are planning on using Barack Obama's association with somebody against him as long as they can. Who is this alleged extremist?
That would be his pastor, Jeremiah Wright.
Very good, Reverend Wright. Well done.
We, the members of the panel, we had a bipartisan political discussion before the show, and we decided as Catholics, we really couldn't get too down on somebody about what their clergy did.
That's true. What happened was that for more than a week, the cable news networks have been constantly replaying old home video of Obama's preacher and spiritual mentor, Jeremiah Wright, saying some extremely angry things about America and white people. Obama was on the defensive for a while on this issue. He hinted, you know, that during the most angry sermons, he was busy playing Minesweeper on his BlackBerry, so he wasn't paying attention. But then he responded with a big speech in which he rejected Wright's comments, went on to talk about America's racial legacy and how we all need to move beyond it. But even if Obama survives this controversy, GOP activists have other attacks ready to go. Apparently, Obama's barber has made some inflammatory comments on the Cubs' chances this year. According to sources, his dentist once made some very off-color remarks about Britney Spears, and all Obama said in response was, oomph, 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 oomph.
But he said it very well.
He did. He was so articulate. All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
Got to get you out of my life.
That was who Al Moore. That was the headline writer's joke du jour this week. It was everywhere. It was how they all described the final divorce settlement of whom?
Paul McCartney and Heather Mills.
You know both their names. Well done. The storybook romance between the former Beatle and the former model ended with the judge in their divorce, granting her a $48 million settlement. It wasn't the $250 million that she had asked for, but it does work out to about $34,000 a day for the marriage. Not bad work if you can get it, even if it does require you to listen to endless whining about how the songwriting credit should have been McCartney and Lennon. Even in granting that judgment, the judge said that Mills, during the procedure, had been, quote, inconsistent, inaccurate, underhanded, and less than candid, unquote. When last seen, Ms. Mills was seen hanging around Ringo Starr's house.
I think Sir Paul there gets the, kind of retires the cup for it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah.
Paul, there's this one-legged crazy girl we'd like you to meet. I've been that drunk.
Carl, how did Jill do in our quiz?
Jill did very well, Peter. She had three correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on her home answering
machine. She takes the checkered flag.
She does. Yay! Well done. Well done, Jill. Thank you so much for playing.
I'll